Welcome back. We are dealing with the sorrowful mysteries. We have discussed the agony in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, and now we are going to move into the crowning of our Lord with thorns. Now, this crowning of thorns was truly a very horrific event because there were at least 400 men that abused Jesus, and these were men who were soldiers of the Roman army, and they were filled with hatred, as any occupying force hates the people it occupies. They were bitter enemies, and they had this Jew all to themselves, and they beat him and abused him and humiliated him for all the pride and the pride of life that we can have, and all the egotism and the selfishness and the greed and the intellectual sins that mankind commits. For every atheist who pretends to not believe in a God that he knows by his very intellect exists, for these sins Jesus took the beating. These thorns were large thorns. They pierced right through his forehead and came out his eye. They were pounded on his head. It speaks of this in Scripture. And so this mystery, being horrific as it is, also teaches us the truth that there is nothing that we can do so grave, so horrible, so awful, no intellectual sin that we can commit that can separate us from God's mercy. Look upon this Jesus who suffers this. He suffers this so that he can forgive. That's the reason he goes through this agony and this passion, so that none of us would ever be afraid to approach the throne of his infinite mercy. None of us would ever walk away and despair of his love, his kindness, his compassion, his goodness. You and I have been given these gifts, the gifts of his passion and death, the gifts of seeing what sin can do, what it does. We may not see it. It may be hidden. But sin does terrible things to the soul that embraces it. And Jesus makes it visible. He makes us and enables us to see the true effects of sin. For so many people, sin is just something, well, it feels good, it's okay, it's not hurting anybody else. And yet, this is what sin does to the soul himself. This is what it does to the individual who embraces sin. Almost certainly it has a universal effect. It has an effect on the entire mystical body of Christ. Just like if you stub your toe, the whole body hurts. If you bang your finger on something with a hammer, your whole body it stops because of the pain. So also sin does that to the mystical body of Christ, to all of those of us who call ourselves Christians. We are all beaten. We are all in pain. We all suffer because of one person who sins. But Jesus needed to show us the horror of sin so that we would have a reason to avoid it. So it wouldn't just be left up to what you and I might think arbitrarily is right and wrong. We recognize what is right, what is wrong, because that is the only way we can be truly happy, the only way we can truly be at peace. After Jesus was crowned with thorns, he is given his cross. And tradition has it that he took the cross and he kissed it before he carried it. He not only embraced his cross, but he loved that cross because from that cross he would reign. He says earlier that when you see the Son of Man lifted as the serpent was lifted in the desert, that serpent was a bronze serpent. That serpent, when they looked upon it, they were healed. That is why the image of Christ crucified is necessary. It is necessary in our schools. It is necessary in our churches. No church should take Christ off the cross. No church should put a resurrexifix up instead of a crucified Christ. It is the crucified Christ that hangs upon the cross, and he will hang upon that cross until the last soul is saved. For there is where he wants to reign. It is from that cross. For you see, everything Jesus did was infinite. He did it as God made man. And in the eyes of God, in God's eternal now, he is still on that cross. That's why we as Catholics don't take him off the cross. At least Catholics who are true to their faith. They recognize that Jesus must be on that cross until the very last soul is saved, when all of this time ceases that we dwell in now. Then it will be an element of the past. But for now, Christ still hangs on that cross, because in God's time, everything is now. Right now, Jesus is being born in the stable of Bethlehem. Right now, he is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Right now, he is hanging on that cross. Right now, he is being laid in the tomb. Everything is present to God, for there is no yesterday and there is no tomorrow. Everything is present, totally and completely. Right now, God is creating the universe. Right now, he's creating Adam and Eve. Right now, Adam and Eve are sinning. This is how we must understand time and eternity. That is why in the Catholic Church, Christ is not taken from the cross. For until this time ceases to exist in the resurrection of the dead, Christ will remain on that cross. The Father will see his Son hanging there. He will listen to the words that Jesus speaks. And he will forgive because of him. And so, my brothers and sisters, we look at this magnificent act of love and we recognize that only when you put Christ on the cross is the definition of love perfectly manifested. If you want to know what love is, look to Christ crucified. It is the only way we can understand what love really is. In the United States, we use the word horribly. We have no idea what love is. And the reason we don't is because so many have taken him off the cross. If you take Christ off the cross, it becomes a glorified symbol. If you leave him on the cross, it becomes the definition of love and the definition of sin. And unless we have a clear definition of what love is and what sin is, we will not be able to love. And we will never understand sin. So look to Christ crucified. Look and listen to the words of Jesus. During this mystery, listen to what Jesus says. How he forgives while they are nailing him to the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He's forgiving them as they are causing infinite pain in an infinite God. He looks down and he sees his mother. And he says, Woman, behold thy son. And then, to you and to me, he says, to the disciple. That's what it says. It doesn't say to John, to the disciple, behold your mother. How important Mary is as our mother in faith, that Jesus, while he is dying on the cross, presents Mary to you and me to be our mother in faith. What more do we need? It takes a tremendously twisted mind to think that after all of this, that Jesus did not give Mary to us as our mother in faith. It takes someone devoid of faith to reject love of Mary, thinking that in some way one can get closer to Christ without her. It is impossible. You cannot love Jesus the way he wants to be loved without the Blessed Virgin Mary.